Hello, this is Keep Your Fork There's podcast, our mother-daughter dialogue about the media we love. I'm Valerie, the daughter.
I'm Susan, the mom.
In this episode, we're going to discuss the 1983 movie Suburbia.
But before we do that, Valerie, how are you doing?
Good. I am looking forward to the next semester in school. I don't really have a story to tell about that. I just like school. Yeah, that's all I got, really.
We're together on the same coast.
Oh, yeah, that's a story. Talk about
Yeah,
that.
with our plots and schemes for earning money for college, which costs a lot. And we thought, why not a podcast?
Why not a podcast? It was a little more intense than that. Mom was like, "Why aren't we doing a podcast?" It was a little slightly different vibe, but yeah. The result is the same.
We ended up with a lot more spare time than was originally planned. So it just
That's
seemed
true.
like we could be spending it. There's a local theater. It's called the Lamely. That is probably not at all how it's pronounced. It's like the only indie movie theater in LA because LA is an industry town. All the theaters play all the Marvel movies, all the blockbusters, all the Hollywood movies. Lamely plays, other things, but also the Marvel movies. It's a mixed bag. I don't know. But they had an event where they were playing Suburbia. And its director, Penelope Spheeris, was going to be there for a QA. And this was amazing to me. And I invited my good friend Lori, who exposed me to this movie at a tender young age, and my fella, who I want him to know all the things about me, including a movie that freaked me out and made me cut my hair. And so there was that, and that was great. And then Valerie came down, and I was on fire for her to see this movie. So we watched it.
Yeah, you've mentioned before that this was like an important piece of your history, this movie, but never really lit a fire under your butt to make me watch it recently.
Yeah, the screening that I went to. Also, we went to see, it was called the No Values Festival. And it had, all these punker bands. And I got invited because I knew some of the punker bands and series of misadventures. And then Lori was there too. So it was me, Lori Girardo. So just walking around this punk venue and hearing songs that different bands were playing and being like, I know that. That's from Suburbia. Just this whole back to your roots nostalgia, I suppose. What a thing to be nostalgic about, like punkism, punkerism, punks. It was like an 80s thing, and I wasn't old enough to participate in it. But an era of, I don't know, poor white kids being angry at society.
Kind of dicks about it.
Yeah. Your dad used to say, like, he wasn't into the punker energy of like people breaking beer bottles on their heads. And yeah, okay. Why don't you do your short summary?
I did such a good job. Let me read it to you. This is definitely everything you need to know about Suburbia. It was written by Penelope Spheeris, a woman with a background in documentaries about rock musicians. The soundtrack features a ton of music from real life bands DI, TSOL, and the Vandals. And the story follows a disillusioned teen boy who leaves home and joins a group of punk kids who are all squatting in a house on the edge of some LA suburbs. What did they call themselves, mommy? I've forgotten.
Total rejects.
Total rejects. So we follow these total rejects as they attend music shows and steal food from locals and pick fights. And eventually they adopt the protagonist's little brother. And then also, eventually, these two grown-ups who have gums. Gums, guns.
We all have gums.
Yeah, we do. Well, you hope. these two grown-ups are like adult men who have guns. They come to like kick them all out of this place because these kids are being a menace to their suburban society, and it ends super bad. The end. That's the whole movie. That's everything you need to know.
Huh. I didn't know that
I did great.
we did. I would maybe want it to be like, oh, it's a coming of age story about, but then I should have written it if I was going to do that.
Yeah, Mom. While you think, let me just make some space here to remind our dear listeners that this podcast is super not spoiler free. We're going to be talking about the whole movie and maybe some other stuff. Who knows? The wise April Wolf used to say, it's not what happens, it's how it happens that matters. So, take that wisdom and listen to this episode anyway. I'm also going to leave some space for trigger warnings here as needed. A baby definitely dies in this movie, and so do so many dogs. So, at the very least, there's that. And then maybe if we can remember something else. Oh, yeah, sexual assault.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, maybe some other stuff. I'll hop in here if I missed anything.
Let's dig in.
You should tell me about the first time you watched this movie.
Yes. So at an age where everybody is done running away from home, I ran away from home. I was 19 at the time, I think. My friend Lori Neighbors and I went to Portland, Oregon. I had plans to go someplace else and live with a cousin. And my friend Lori said, if you go someplace cool, I'll go with you. And I was like, where's cool? And she said, Portland, Oregon. So we went there.
I didn't know this lore about you potentially living with a cousin.
Yeah, Dave.
Oh, what a guy.
Yeah, hella guy. I think the 90s was an interesting time because part of being a friend with someone was like you would want to show them like all the movies that you loved and play for them all the music that you love. And Lori is just a little bit older than me, but where I had gone to high school and gone to college, she had gone to high school and then moved to the town that my college was in and had lived as an adult for some time and just had a different experiences. She's from a bigger city. There were punkers in her city. I think it just had taste in that kind of rock and roll culture, despite us being Iowa girls. She lived in Des Moines, the capital. And she would talk about staying home from school and watching Sid and Nancy because she had it on video. This was big for her
That
about
is, I
this
think, a movie I've never heard of.
Sid and Nancy. It's about Sid Vicious and Nancy
Oh,
Spungen.
okay. All right. I'm following. Continue.
Yeah, they're Sex Pistols and kind of groupie, if you would. Hang around. I don't know. They were a couple. She talked about this movie, Suburbia, and how she loved it, but that you couldn't rent it at the video stores because it was just rare for it to be around. And if it did show up, someone would rent it, never return it because you can't get it.
Wow, that's
Yeah, you
fun
can't get
lore.
it. Yeah. And we must have found it somewhere or something. Maybe we had our jobs and, like, okay, let's rent a movie tonight. And we got Suburbia and we sat down to watch it. When I moved to Portland, I was interested in being in a band. And a lot of this movie is a bunch of punker kids going to a local club and watching bands. At the
Continue.
time, really resonated with me as this movie that she was showing me was like the reality that we had just moved into. Like we were
This
going to go
fictional
to see
movie.
shows, I was going to try to
Yeah,
be
yeah,
in a
yeah.
band. To me at the time felt like, okay, this is like a how-to of sorts. Yeah.
Just like me watching Fame
At
before going to high school.
LaGuardia, yeah, that makes sense to me. So that's how it came into my life. Something about Penelope Spheeris, she's pretty remarkable in being a lady director. Obviously, there's that. But also, she was making documentary films about like rock and roll people. And they were called The Decline of Western Civilization. Wikipedia describes her work as covering aspects of Los Angeles underground culture. The first series, I think she was interviewing people like Kiss.
Is this all you
Kiss
got? Kiss is
and
the only rocker you
Ozzy
can think of?
Osbourne. No, it took me that long to come up with Kiss. I was like
Oh, I
seeing
see.
their faces
You're
and.
like teachers, black and white.
Yeah, epic rockers. Yeah, so like some established kind of rockers, and she's interviewing them, like, kind of not from a, oh my God, it's so cool, you're rock and roll way, but like, who are you? Who the fuck are you? What are you even about? What is this? And like, it's kind
That's
of
a pretty
remarkable to
remarkable
watch
perspective.
because there are a couple people she kind of like talks into them just sort of deconstructing right in front of her. Like, you're right. Yeah, I have a drinking problem and even my mom doesn't like me. You know, like
Oh,
that kind
Jesus
of stuff.
Christ.
Yeah, it's not at all like a glamorous depiction. She's just like, here's the real dirt, that kind of.
Who's this asshole?
Yeah. Which is
Wow.
fun, but she did three. The first one, I think, was the most kind of polished surface of rock and roll that you might think. And I personally am kind of like, that's underground culture. Like, I feel like Kiss and Black Sabbath and all that stuff was not underground. That was, I don't know, maybe they were.
Yeah, I don't know either. Tell me, did you watch those first
No,
or
definitely
after?
after. That was like film
Mm.
school kind of.
Oh shit,
Let
okay.
me follow up on what this lady director has done. What's her body of work? That one I watched. The second one I can't remember, but it was some sort of in between because the third one is hardly even like a full documentary. She just was really following around punker kids into their like squats and stuff. All of them getting in a room and talking about how they ended up there and what culture's like. And so she went from making these documentaries to writing a screenplay, not like a rock star story, but like a punk kids story. And that's interesting to me that her first screenplay, her first fictional movie that she wrote and directed was The Kids.
Yeah, I guess that is ultimately what she found compelling. My
Famous thing.
experience was sitting on a bed next to you as you 1v1'd your fella's television and eventually got Suburbia working.
I would like to include this movie has Flea in it, who is the bassist for, God damn, I hope I'm right. He's the bassist for the Red Hot Chili
You
Peppers.
have a search engine right in front of you, I'm
I
sure.
know,
I'll
kind
look
of
it
a.
up. You're talking. Flea. The guy. Flea musician. Michael Peter Balzeri. Oh, he's so old now.
Yeah. So he was like one of the Los Angeles punker
Bass
kids.
guitar and trumpet and keyboards and vocals.
And he was in this film. Oh, an important fun thing about this movie, Penelope Spheeris put up $250,000 of her own money, and the producer put up $250,000 of his money, and they made the movie for $500,000. The stars of it are punker kids, and she did not use professional actors or actresses. Her thought was that she could teach punker kids how to act, but she couldn't teach actors and actresses how to be punker kids.
Which is
So,
pretty bomb.
yeah, all of the kids in it are just kids from the streets. Flea happened to be one of them and grew into being Flea. There's another, the lead of it had a good run in acting, which is cool.
Tell me though, tell me, why do you know that? Do you know that because you saw her talk after seeing it in LA? Do you know that because of a director's cut? Did you do film school research?
I think when I saw it, I knew Flea was in it because the Red Hot Chili Peppers were a thing.
They sure were.
Lori told me, like, oh, this is Flea. And I was like, it sure is. But later, following up and learning about Penelope Spheeris, I saw the statements that she made about her choices for actors and actresses. And, that's unique.
Yeah, she seems like kind of a badass, the impression I'm getting.
Yeah. And like watching it now with a more critical eye, some of them are great. Some of them are not that great. But we can
Well,
get
kind
into
of
that.
regardless. It is very charming. Like the good actors are great. And then the actors who are bad kind of end up, sort of everyone ends up with this like cadence. Even like the dudes who aren't playing punkers are like, what are you all dressed up for? Where's the war? Like, and they just like, I don't know, it's like they're just like saying stuff. They're not really putting a lot of like acting into it, but it's still there's still have like a almost natural cadence to it. I don't know. It's got a certain tone, and I think a lot of that is that like these guys aren't.
Yeah, I'm getting lost in it and now I'm just looking at pictures of Flea. Let me get back to the. Sorry.
Kind of distracting. My first note, because this movie opens with a young woman with her thumb out on the side of a road hitchhiking, and my very first note that I wrote down was that sometimes I'm sad that it isn't super safe for women to hitchhike because there's like such this beautiful, like romantic image of like a young man hitchhiking across America to get where he wants. And like, that's so dangerous for a young woman to do. But it's how this movie starts.
There's been a couple times when I had to catch rides on the side of the road. Yeah, it's hard for me to really remember. I had a truck that was like, he was only going a little ways, but he got on the CB and found someone
You
else for
didn't get
me.
murdered. You're here
Yeah.
today.
Yeah. And I think I slept the whole way. And I think the trucker was like really hoping for some company, you know? And
Aww.
yeah, he was kind of bummed. And I think that was, I hitchhiked from somewhere in California back to Portland.
Holy shit, Mom.
Yeah. I think it was more premeditated, like somebody took me to where they knew I could get a ride
Oh,
and like
sure.
checked in with them and like, you know,
Did
that
anyone
kind of
let you
thing.
hold their baby?
No, nobody let me hold their baby.
And the only reason you didn't kill a baby that day.
Wait a minute. I'm not a killer
No
of
wild
babies.
dogs?
And let's get into this. Sheila didn't kill the
Okay,
baby either. So
you tell the story of
young
what happens
teenage
in the opening scene.
girl is hitchhiking on the side of the road and gets picked up by a nice lady who has a baby. And the baby's in the front seat, and I don't even think it's in a car seat. So you asked me right away, like, no car seat? It's like, oh, it's
In a car
the
seat. What I asked you was front seat.
70s, baby. Yeah, the wild, wild days of, yeah,
Yeah.
babies just loose in the
Was
car.
that before seatbelt laws as well?
No, I don't think so. This was what, 83? I don't know. I don't know when seatbelt laws became a thing. I know my dad was real mad about it.
Seatbelt law, USA, 68.
Oh, come on, I wasn't even born then.
Yeah, what?
Federal?
Oh, no. The first seatbelt law was 68, and it only required manufacturers to install seatbelts. New York State passed the first law in the US mandating the use of seatbelts in 1984. So this
Wow.
is pre-seatbelts.
Yeah, it is. So Sheila's got her thumb out. This nice lady pulls over, picks her up. Sheila gets in the car and they're driving. She's like,
Are they
"Where you
using Jane's
going?"
Addiction?
I don't
Sorry. We really need to not talk about Flea this much.
know. She asks her how far she's going and she's like, she doesn't know. And the woman's like, "You're not running away, are you?"
Pretty on the nose.
And Sheila just doesn't even answer. When kapow, there's a tire blowout. And so they get out of the car and they walk to a phone booth that is just
Yes, just
near the
out in the middle of
highway
nowhere
in the
is pretty
mist,
great.
you know,
Does
like
that
they
strike true
are.
based on your experience in the
It's hard for
80s?
me to remember how
Where the
frequently
phone
I
booths were?
phone booths around the highway. I don't know. And I certainly wasn't out here in LA, so.
Oh, I really gotta close Flea's Wikipedia page.
Yeah, it was distracting for me too. It was
He's in
really.
Baby Driver and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, he's in quite a few movies now. And I think
Yeah, I'm closing it. I'm closing it. I'm
we
closing
can
it. I'm closing it.
thank Penelope Spheeris for that. Yeah, so phone booth. Here, Sheila, hold my baby. I'm gonna call someone to help with this flat tire. Sheila's got the baby. She's holding her hand because the baby is big enough to stand there. It's color-coded. It's probably a boy baby. I don't know.
Okay.
It's in a snowsuit.
It's a cute little outfit.
She's just waiting for lady to get off the phone when we see a Doberman pincher that's like,
Is
rrr,
that a Doberman pincher? Is it? Aren't the pinchers the little ones?
no, that's a mini pin. A min
Oh.
pin. A Doberman Pinscher is a big dog.
Oh, you're right. Doberman pincher is the full name. I don't know. I thought there was a difference between a Doberman and a Doberman pincher. I was wrong. Bred in 1890. All right, closing this so it doesn't distract me. Go on.
Doggo runs at the baby, grabs the baby by the coat, and shakes it to death. As far as we know,
Yeah,
because
it like fades to black, cuts to the girl's horrified face, or you know,
The
whatever.
baby
Get the point.
shaking was clearly a dummy, and a baby would
Oh,
not
yeah.
shake like that unless it was very broken.
Like immediately very broken. Too broken too fast.
we can't think that's gone well for the baby.
No.
End scene. We would call that a cold open.
Yes, and we do. It was a cold open.
It was cold, cold open.
I'm drawing a Doberman Pinscher right now. I certainly hope you don't expect me to help with this next part. I'm drawing.
Okay. The next thing that happens is we're in a suburban home, and this kid's just sitting in one of those big lazy boy kind of chairs, and his mom comes in, and he's like, "Oh, hey, are you home late?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'd stop by after work with some friends and had some drinks. What of it?" And you're like, "Okay, a little aggressive." And then she goes to the oven
She's
and gets out her liquor bottle.
like, I put a line on it.
Yeah. "You've been drinking." He's like, "No." She's like, "Let me smell your breath." And I think, ew, he probably hasn't brushed since morning. If you're lucky, why you want to smell his yucky ass teenage boy mouth?
I was not particularly concerned. That was just for you, the true horror of the scene.
He's like breathing her face. Well, first he's like, "Really?" And she's like, "Do it." And he's like, and she's like, and backs
He also gets
away.
mad at him, I think, for not taking the trash out. I didn't write that down, but I feel that it's true in my heart. He's like, man, I just forgot.
Yeah, she goes over and opens the cupboard under the sink, and two brown bags of trash fall out. And I'm like, man, you really need a waste paper basket. That's not practical. They fall, and she's like, "Damn it, Evan! I told you to take this trash out this morning!" And she grabs a bottle from the trash and throws it against the wall above his head where he's sitting, and it shatters.
Tell you
Okay.
something kind of amazing right now. Zoom is like, that's too loud. That can't possibly be the same woman talking. So it's cutting out, but because we are in the same building and I'm on the second floor and you're on the first floor, I can hear you
Oh,
doing your evil mom voice, your evil drunk mom voice
darn it.
from
I
up
really
here.
thought my evil drunk mom was going to be like such a good part of this.
No, I'm sure it'll come through on your recording.
You
Zoom
think
does not
so?
like it.
Oh, right. Okay, maybe. Good. So, mom has some anger issues and a drinking problem. We see him with garbage bag in the laundry room. And then we see him coming out the garage. And you asked me something. Is that his bindle? And it was.
Yes.
He's running
To be
away.
perfectly clear with the audience, it is not a bindle on a stick. He's just holding a trash bag with what looks like can't be more than three shirts in there.
I'm set. This is all I'll need. On his way out, he stops to talk to his brother.
His brother's on like a tricycle. He's like, "Where are you going?" And he's like, "I'm leaving." Definitely that happens. But move on quickly before they discover I'm wrong.
But his brother's like nice to him. He's like, "But I don't want you to go." And he's like, "It'll just be better if I go. Don't worry. I'll call you sometime or something." And this little
Yeah, it is
boy
a
is
sweet
just,
scene. You can tell that he's
yeah.
got a good relationship with this kid.
And his little brother is sad and has the cutest face in the world and is sitting on a big wheel.
Yeah, it was a cute kid.
This character, Evan, is leaving his suburban home. Some sad music comes in. The soundtrack of this is fun. Again, like I'm wandering around the no values and like just stages we're not even going to, but I hear songs and I'm like, holy shit, that's from that scene in Suburbia. And I didn't even realize that that was like a real punker band and not just somebody with a synthesizer making a soundtrack for a movie. Like, I don't know. This drum music comes in and it's just sad. Na, 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 na. And a whole series of Evan walking in the mean streets and sitting in front of a diner where people are eating and he has no
Yeah,
food.
that part was really great. The shot of him on one side of a glass window, and on the other side, people are eating, and he's just sad.
A bunch of punker kids walk by him and one of them says, "Get a job." You know, he's
Ha
like,
ha. He probably also doesn't have a job because he's a punker kid. Ha ha.
and I don't know why, but Evan is compelled to follow these punker kids. He finds them compelling.
He's like, those are also teens.
Let's see where they're going. He's got his plastic bag and he ends up inside a big punk rock music venue.
Looking at my notes. I'm looking at my notes. The next note I have written is have some fucking fun, move up. And then after that is lesbians at the punk show. I think I was misinterpreting things, but that's
Well,
what I
maybe.
wanted to be seeing.
Well, maybe.
It also might have been those two girls who were together the whole movie and aren't particularly gay about it.
The punk rock concert that he is seeing is a band called DI. It hasn't started yet, and the punks are up on the stage, and unruly audience of people with their own agendas, I'm sure, but the punker is like, come on, move up. And he's trying to get the audience to like come and be his audience.
Oh
He's like,
yeah,
have some fucking
that's
fun,
why
move
he
up.
says have some fucking fun, move up. I really appreciated that because I started going to comedy shows a couple years ago, and like I make such an effort to sit up near the front, and inevitably the host always has to come up and be like, come on everyone, move closer. I know you're all extremely awkward in real life, but I promise it'll make you have more fun too. Like they get everyone to press up as a performer. Jesus Christ, I feel that.
I think this movie's shots in the music venue are super successful because it feels like a real show. Like, having been a person that had clubs that I went to see bands, like, you've got that sense of the people that work the club that are just like, this is somebody else's party and I hate all of these fucks. And you've got the band who's just like, we're going to perform. We want y'all to give us
Interact,
energy. We're
maybe.
going to give you energy. Like, this should be interactive. And you've got just a like a mass of like unruly people, and they're all punkers, which we haven't really gotten into so much. But like, when Evan's going into the show, like, there's big camera pans along the line outside, which is mohawks and black leather jackets and grommets and nose rings and rings from your ear cuff to your nose and dyed hair, all different colors, people flipping you off, people spitting, people with rats on their bodies, like just
I thought
whole.
that everyone looked both really stylish and really ugly, and that's how I can tell that it's good punk outfits.
Yeah. So now we're in this venue. DI wants them to get close. You've got this staff guy who's talking to a dude who's manning the spotlight, and he's like, okay, so if anything starts busting out in the audience, shine the light on them so we can find them. We see Evan up along the wall, and some
Someone offers him
ne'er-do-well
black
comes up.
triangles, man.
He's like, hi, you want some drugs?
Yeah, that's what happens when you go to places with other teens. You are offered drugs and you have two choices. You can give in or you can say no.
And Evan, our runaway, is like, no, thanks, man. And he's like, these are really great drugs. If you change your mind, let me know. My name's
Keith?
Keith, Keef. Keef. And
Okay.
he's got his arm around him, like, hey, pal. And he drops some black
Fucking roofies
triangles
him.
into our runaway's drink.
And I asked you if you have ever been offered black triangles or if you knew what the fuck they were, and you were like, no.
I don't. This could be just, I don't know shit, but speed and that sort of stuff, like, back before it was real well regulated, I'm told you could like buy it on the back of comic books and stuff. Like, it was not hard to get. At this point, I think we start just kind of like, it's a show, and Penelope is just kind of showing us the performers. They're singing a compelling song, Richard Hung Himself. It's pretty stressful. You see a lot of punker kids dancing in the mosh pits. A lot of that
Is
culture that
that
I think
dancing
is,
or is moshing its own thing?
it's dancing.
There was actually a very brief fight at the last concert I went to. I went to a Mother Mother concert, and the rumor that very briefly floated around was that someone tried to start moshing, and that was not the vibe, so they got kicked out like immediately.
At the No Values show, like, obviously there was going to be mosh pits, and like the first band we went to, the guy came down off of the stage and like showed the crowd how to do a mosh pit. Something I didn't say at this point, 2025, these punkers are like in their 70s.
Oh,
It's just
sorry, what year do you think it
different
is?
scene. 2025,
No.
it's 2024.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
Yeah.
so a whole different kind of crowd. And I thought it was cute that he came down and was showing people how to do a mosh pit. I also thought it
Yeah,
was
that
cute
is
that
cute.
there were like dads with their kids on their shoulders in the mosh pit. Yeah, a lot of things about punker culture, having grown up, that are just adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in Penelope Spheris's documentary about the punker kids, like, a lot of Flea is in it talking about how when he was coming up, it was like easier and gentler, and he was worried about the punker kids of when she made that documentary, because he thought it was like harder times and people weren't looking out for each other like they were, and like I don't know.
Oh.
There's
Yeah,
a
I mean, this movie kind of surprised me because everything I've heard about the punk scene is that it's pretty supportive, like kind of rough around the edges, obviously, but also kind of like family. And I guess this movie is kind of saying that. It's
the
just, you know, there's also the scene that we're coming up on where there's this really cute girl in this cute little fluffy pink outfit with a pink fluffy collar, and they rip all of her clothes off.
We gotta set that up better.
Yeah, no, I don't know that we do. That's kind of
Cute
just what
girl,
happens.
cute outfit, and a punker kid. We find out his name later is Skinner. He, because it's a really loud show, and he yells towards her head, "I think I'd like to fuck your brains out." And
Charming
she
guy.
answers back, "Oh, you would you?" And he says, "Yeah, but it doesn't look like you have any." And
Yeah, mean.
yeah, that's mean. It's mean. And then she shoves him and he shoves her back. And
Totally deserved shove.
in the scuffle, he tears her dress. And then pretty soon the crowd around her is just tearing her dress and she's screaming. And all of her clothes get torn off except the ruffle. And
Yep, the
she's just
beautiful collar.
standing there completely naked with her hands over her chest, looking down at the ground, screaming, while
So
all the dudes around are just like,
leering and laughing and
and the music's still happening. So, like, that's really loud and intense, and there's a lot of motion, and they're throwing her dress bits back at her. And remember, the spotlight guy is supposed to shine his light if he sees anything going on. So he turns the spotlight onto this poor screaming naked girl. So she's lit up for everybody to see.
dude who told him to put the spotlight there is like, what are you doing? Get rid of that.
He gets up on stage and DI, the lead singer, is like,
Come
"Stop
on, give her her
it.
clothes back.
You're this big," or something. He's like telling them that they're really rotten. Then the guy running the club is like, "Give her clothes back. You want some more music? Give her clothes back." And like,
Yeah.
nobody's doing it. So he's like, "That's it. Show's over." And then like, they pan the audience and they're all just like, "Fuck you." And like,
I want to
whatever.
say that when this scene first started, you were like, yeah, so this scene is very long and intense and stressful. And I was like, kind of just vibing. I like wrote in my note-taking thing, I know what I'm getting into when you recommend a movie these days. And like, I don't know, this is exactly what I expected. So.
Yeah, it's a tough scene. It's a tough scene. We can talk later about my reactions to this scene because, like I said, I sat down to watch this with Lori thinking, like, this was an eye into a world I definitely wanted to be a part of. And for this to have happened to, kind of a dumb girl, like, whatever, why not wear a party dress to a punk scene? Like, who cares, But like,
Yeah, she was cute as hell.
yeah, she,
And she didn't really stick out that much to me. Mind you, I'm not a true punker. I've
well,
never had a mohawk.
yeah, like, she didn't have different colored hair and she wasn't wearing predominantly black, but she had like big hair and a lot of makeup. So what if she looked like she was going to an 80s prom more than a punk show? Like, certainly no reason that should have happened to her, but at the time seeing it, I was like, oh God.
This is my future.
It was
Ah.
like these are dangers. You have to fit in. You can't stick out. There are consequences to not conforming. You'll be punished. And I don't know when to say this part, but like, this was so formative for me, this part of the movie, that I, after seeing the whole movie, I cut my hair that night. Lori went to bed and I stayed up in the bathroom and just cut off all my hair because I didn't want to be like the blonde girl that got all her clothes ripped off.
Wow.
Yeah. And I woke Lori up later because it was kind of a mess. And I was like, "Can you help me?" Since she got out of bed and helped me clean it up. But it was this scene that like really drilled into me. What was the big reveal recently? Like, we went to go see this movie and Penelope Spheeris was doing the QA before the movie started, was that she wrote the script about the punker kids. And then she partnered with Roger Corman, who made a certain type of film at the time, and he was like, "Yeah, we can make this film together. I'll match you for funding." but you need to add more sex and more violence. And that was the formula for his movies. So she went back and rewrote everything. And she's like, a lot of these things, like the robberies that happened, that never happened. The girl getting her clothes ripped off, that never happened. Like, she was just like, the culture didn't have that. I had to add it to get this movie made.
See, that's
And
kind of funny because I spent a lot of this movie like, Jesus Christ, this is not what I thought punk scene was like. And I guess I was right.
cool, because I saw it as a 19-year-old girl and was like, I have to be completely different in order to be a punker. Not that my goal was to be a punker, but I definitely wanted to go to shows.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that this poor girl was traumatized like she was just for being a little cute girl in pink dress and high heels.
Yeah.
This is probably the nadir of the movie, I would say. The worst part is definitely this poor girl at the punk show. And it kind of moves right along from that. Like, it's a prolonged scene of her standing naked, and she's a particularly skinny young lady, and she's just screaming. And they're never going to give her clothes back. They're just throwing them at her. The show's over. They turn the lights on. They tell everyone to leave, and everybody starts marching out. Oh, and at some point, he's like, "Put on the muzak." And they put on this elevator music that's like, da 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 da
I
da
did not
da.
notice that at all.
Yes. Everybody's like, "Oh, man," and they're like, "Get out of here. Show's over."
Yeah, they're like banishing them with the sound of bad music.
Yeah.
They're rules.
And all the kids are marching out, and they clear out of a spot and reveal our protagonist is lying on the ground in a pool of his own vomit.
And you out loud said, gross, or
Yeah,
something.
it is gross. And the security and the proprietors of the place are like, "Get up, get out of here. You gotta go. You gotta get up. You gotta get out of here." They get him up on his feet and shove him towards the door. All right. So we're back with him now. Traumatic experience at his first punker show. And out in the street he goes. So out in front of the place, this dilapidated car pulls up. Some woman is yelling at this guy. And he's yelling back, "You're so fucking stupid." Like, whatever. He pulls to a stop. She's pissed and she gets out of the car and slams the door. And he's like, "And don't slam the door in my fucking car." And she's like, "You call that a car?"
That was a great line.
Marches away,
This is
marches
where I
away.
wrote in my notes, not a lot of great actors, yet charm.
And so this guy, whether or not he can act is not important. He just visually is so striking. He's got like a weird little upside down triangle mouth. He's got big teeth. He's got bleached blonde hair.
Cut real, real short, close to the scalp.
Yeah, he's got punker regalia on, great attitude energy. And so he goes over to where our runaway Evan is lying on the grass nearby because he got kicked out and he's still not feeling good. So I guess he just laid down wherever.
Those black triangles, man, they fuck you up.
And he's like, "Hey,"
Yeah, he says something like, you can't sleep here.
the kid's just
Yeah.
like, "I don't have anywhere to go." And he's like, "Well, you can't stay here. Snails will crawl on your face. Come on, come with me."
Incredible line.
And he brings him into his car and they go to just a parking lot. And he throws like a tarp over his car and they're just going to sleep in the car that night in some parking lot.
And hey, better than the grass, no snails.
Yeah. Next day, they're
Next day.
on the road, and maybe the kid asks, like, "Where are we going?" And he's like, "Oh, there's this house that people can crash in or whatever, the TR house, and we can go there. But I'm gonna pick up my friend. His parents are gay, and he can't stand living with them anymore.
No, just
So,
his dad.
and we're gonna go get him, and then we're gonna go out to the TR house." And like, Evan's a runaway. He's like, "Okay, sounds good to me."
Yeah, and on the way he goes, parents are so lame.
And
Great line.
they pass by a bus that spits a whole lot of exhaust on them. And he's like, "Get that bottle in the back." And he throws a bottle at a bus. And he's like, "I hate buses." It's just like, oh,
Great line.
punker,
Killer.
punker life,
No
punk
reason for
life.
it.
Throw bottles at
Yeah, punk
buses.
boys hate buses.
Yep.
Is this also when he's got his mom's diary and he's just reading it out loud and laughing? like
Oh, yeah.
throws the pages out of the car. It's crazy, insane,
Yeah.
so mean.
She had written about being excited about being married, and they've bought this house. She was going to have a baby, and it was going to be this great place to raise a family.
Dad
And
left, and yeah, right.
Jack is like, everybody was excited. They didn't know it was going to be the slums of the future. And Evan's like, yeah, I wish she would have had an abortion. Jack's like, yeah, in those days it was illegal. And he takes the mom's diary and throws it out of the hole in the roof of his car, and like all of the
Yeah,
pages
Jesus.
blow artistically across the sidewalk. Oh,
Yeah, it is beautiful.
such.
And then we get this really artful shot of a gay dad on a floaty.
When Jack and Evan go walking into this place, it's like a
I love how you know their
typical.
names. I suck. Jack, I'm gonna write them down. Jack, Evan.
It's a typical Los Angeles, like you've got apartments around a pool, and the dad and his boyfriend are in the pool, and
Listen how you know what a typical Los Angeles apartment complex is now. You're so worldly.
you went
I
to
live in
Ali's
LA now.
place. You went to Ali's
Yeah,
place.
it's exactly the same. Yeah,
Right.
totally.
That's what they look like. When they go into the courtyard, the dad's like, "Hi, Jack. Are you going to try to wake up Joe? I gave up hours ago." And Jack and Evan go up to Joe's bedroom, and there's punk music playing, and Jack takes the needle off the record, and then Joe pops up and it's like, "I told you to leave that alone." And then he's like, "Oh, it's you."
You're not my gay dad.
The next shot is them leaving the courtyard, and Joe's got a suitcase, and the dad says really dryly, "Leaving again, huh, Joe? Don't I at least get a goodbye this time?" And Joe's like, "Later days." Because that's how you talk to your dad when you're a punker.
Yep, and he's gay.
And he's gay. And then you get the artful shot of the dad on the
The gay
floaty.
down on the floaty. That's when it is. Okay, all right. It's
Exiting
a great shot.
screen left of the down shot of the pool. It's very graphic. It's
Yeah,
very
he's just
beautiful.
slowly floating out of frame. It's
Yep.
good.
Yep. It's good. It's good movie making. That's good stuff. Good stuff.
And this is, I think, the first time Jack has that awesome little triangle smile. And I wrote, good smile.
They go driving out to the TR house that they've heard they can crash at, and they're getting barked at by
By evil
dogs,
dogs.
by evil dogs. And
Evil
Jack
baby
starts,
eating dogs.
they're asking about the dogs, and Jack starts telling them like, "Oh yeah, they're getting really bad. I heard they killed a baby the other day."
And you're
Cold
like, oh,
open,
the baby didn't
flashback to
survive
cold
being
open.
ragdolled.
And then I don't know like why he stops, but he stops at some point, and they're like, "Oh no, the dogs." And he's like, "Roll up the windows." And then Evan's window gets stuck, and there's this Great Dane dog just barking and slobbering at the window and scaring the shit out of them. And
Yeah,
Jack's
it's
just
great.
kind of like laughing. And then they get going again and get away from the dogs.
Haha, these dogs eat babies, ha.
They get to the TR house. He mentions that somebody at the TR house has captured a few of the dogs and is trying to train him, but everybody thinks they're crazy. That turns out to be Flea, Flea's character, whose name is Razzle. They get
They
to the
call him
TR
Flea a
house.
couple of times, and he's like, get it right, it's Razzle.
They get to the TR house. They're getting
They tell him if they.
haircuts. There's
Oh,
music playing.
yeah.
Ah, I want to be a cowboy. I'm pretty sure it's the Vandals. That's playing in the background, and some girl is giving haircuts, and so she's just like shaving the hair off of some kid. Flea is there, and he's got this rat. He's playing with the rat, and Evan and Jack and Joe are sort of sitting around uncomfortably. A cockroach goes ambling by on the ceiling, and Flea pulls out a slingshot and shoots him off the ceiling, and then turns and says to Evan, "You want to be next?"
Yeah, for
And
no reason, sort of unprovoked.
Evan's like, "What?" You know, and Flea's like, "For a haircut. Do you want a haircut?" And Evan's like, "No, I just got my haircut." And Flea's like,
You did?
"Could have fooled me," you know, like that kind
Yeah,
of thing.
totally.
Because Evan's got like a 70s shag looking haircut.
Yeah,
And
it's not that ugly. It's not that atypical, but it's not punk rock.
no, all the punker kids have got like short or no hair. Or a mohawk, you know, or a different
My
color.
favorite haircut in the whole world is a mohawk. I will never have one.
It can be pretty great. I don't know. Does Joe ask Jack about Sheila at that point? I'm not
I don't
sure.
know. Sorry.
He's like, who's
I
that?
shouldn't be so rude just because they kiss later.
Who's that? Oh, that's Sheila. Then a bunch of people are in the living room, like a bunch of kids hanging around this tiny TV. And they go walking in there because they're not going to get haircuts. And this woman gets on and is like, are you feeling run down? Are you having a hard time coping? Are you depressed? Come to this treatment center and we'll help you out. Skinner says, oh, yeah, I have a friend that checked into that place. It costs like $800 a week. And then Evan whispers into Jack's ear something. And Skinner says, what are you saying? What was that? And Evan says, if you had $800 a week, you wouldn't be depressed. And Skinner's like, oh, ha, that's true. What's your name? And he's like, Evan. He's like, Evan, are you going to get a brand? And then everybody's like looking at each other and shaking their head. And Evan's like, what's a brand? And then Jack ushers him out of the room where he, Joe, and Jack discuss if you're going to stay at the TR house, you got to get a brand. And they've got, don't ask me how, but some big iron stick with TR on the end of it that they put into the gas stove until it's like red hot. And then you burn it on the arm. And Jack shows how he's got one on his arm.
The other
And
two are like, oh no, no way, man. Or at least Joe is.
Joe
And
is
Evan
like,
is like, I got nowhere else to go.
and so Joe's like, well, you know, good luck to you. I'm out of here. And Joe leaves, and the camera follows Joe, and he's like walking through the next neighbor's lawn, and he's got his suitcase, and he's leaving. And then you hear a yelp, and that's Evan getting his brand. Then there's a
And
time jump, and we get in
yeah, we
front.
go back to Joe's place and
It's nighttime now.
he sees through the window that his dad is snuggling with some guy and he has no time for his son because he's having gay hookups.
Yeah, they're naked. This is butt. His dad's naked butt holding on to his man. And Joe just turns around and puts his back against the wall and looks frustrated.
He's so sad. He's so sad his gay dad is gay.
Yeah. Then we go back to the TR house and Joe is coming in and it's nighttime. And he finds the brand. He's heating it up in the stove when Sheila walks in.
He's gonna do it himself. That's pretty badass, actually.
Sheila is the same character as we saw hitchhiking in the
She
cold
was a
open,
hitchhiker.
but she now no longer has hair. Oh, we missed that part. The haircut that was happening was her getting all her golden hair cut off.
And now we know.
Yeah,
Also, it's harder to get lice.
is it? It is.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, you're back, huh? He's like, yeah, I can't go home. And she's like, you know, why? And he's like, well, maybe if I get to know you better, I'll tell you about it. And she says, I didn't think twice about getting my burn because I have so many scars already. And he's like, you do, huh? What kind of scars? And she turns around and pulls up her shirt and she's got all kinds of scars on her back.
Her back is just striped.
Yeah, zebra striped.
Yeah, totally.
She's like this kind. And he's like, oh my God, where'd you get those? And she puts her shirt back down and flips around and says coyly, well, maybe if I get to know you better, I'll tell you.
Cute, it's cute. Their chemistry is fine.
It's a, what is that called? A meet cute? It is over a
That's not a
brand.
meet cute.
Come on, it's adorable. And he's
No,
gonna
but yeah,
burn
but
his
you don't know what a
arm.
meet cute is, clearly. A meet cute is like when you drop your book and someone picks it up for you and your hands touch, you know? That this isn't a meet cute. They've already met.
But they're gonna brand each other. You don't think that's cute?
No, it is cute. It's just not a meet cute.
I
That's a
think you're
term that means a particular thing.
being prejudiced against punker meet cutes. That's what I think.
Joe gets his burn. I also am finding from reading this synopsis that Joe's name is Joe Schmo. Joe gets his burn, and he and Sheila get romantic. Early the next morning, gunshots are heard from inside the TR house, and some of the punkers are freaked out, jump into action. Because men from the neighborhood in the Citizens Against Crime group are out in their cars shooting at the dogs.
I wrote that
And
evil dogs that eat babies are getting shot.
yeah, it's pretty graphic, the shots of the dogs getting shot. Like
Oh, yeah.
much footage of dogs like doing cartwheels midair. I hope that Penelope was consulting with PETA and no dogs were harmed in the filming of this
Sure hope.
fine film. Flea's running after one of the dogs because it's his dog and he doesn't want it to get shot. He had a kennel situation. I don't know how many dogs were in it. I don't know why they were out running with the wild dogs at that time. Like, kennels them
He
by
kennels
day,
them
but
by
lets
day, but
them,
lets them,
visit their buddies of their past
of their
lives
past
in the evening.
lives
I'm
in the
not really
evening. I'm not
sure.
really
And
sure.
also eat
Yeah,
babies.
maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe they eat a
Maybe
little
they eat a
baby
little
in the
baby
evening. In
in
the
the misty
evening.
night.
I don't
Yeah.
know. I don't know. But these guys are just shooting down the dogs indiscriminately, and Flea goes running out to save his dog. Skinner goes
I don't
running out,
know,
I don't know,
because
because.
there's rabble rousing and he wants to be a part of it.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
I think Evan came
think
out
Evan came
too.
out
The
too.
Citizens Against Crime Dude are squaring off with our young punkers. One of them is like, "You little shit," or something, and maybe there's going to be a fight.
And Evan's like, save
Save it,
it,
'cause
because he points to
cops are coming.
oh, yes.
And in ride
Cop
in the
and
cop and
another
another
cop.
cop,
And they
confront
confront
the
the Citizens Against Crime Guide,
permits for those
permits for those
guns,
guns.
and
And
they
And
do.
they're
And they're
like,
like,
you
you can't
can't
shoot
shoot
guns
guns
within
within
blah
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 county
county
property.
property. And
And
the
the
Citizens Against
Citizens
Crime are
Against
kind
Crime
of
are
ready for
kind of ready
this,
for
and are
this,
like,
and they're like, "Oh, but the
oh,
county
but the
line
county
stops on
line
blah
stops
blah
on blah
blah."
blah blah blah.
And they're in churning away any potential.
trouble with the cops.
Yeah,
Yeah, they
and ask
turned
the
it
cops
around and asked the
instead,
cops
like,
instead,
"Is that
like,
allowed
is that
within
allowed
county
within
lines?"
county
And they
lines?
point to
And
the
they point
TR
to the
house,
TR
which is
house, which
clearly
is
falling
clearly
apart.
falling apart in
Yeah.
many ways.
And the cop
And the
is
cop is
like,
like,
"Well, don't worry
well,
about
don't
that.
worry about that. Leave that to us."
Off
And
go
off
Citizens
go
Against
Citizens
Crime.
Against Crime.
The cops are still there looking at the TR house,
One of the
and
one of the cops asks the other,
"That car looks
that car looks familiar."
familiar." And the cop's
And the
like, "It should
cop's
look
like, it should
familiar.
look
That was my
familiar.
wife's
That was my
car. I
wife's
gave it to
car.
her
I gave it to
son."
her
And we
son.
find out
And
that
we find out
there's
that there's
the
connection
connection
between
between
the black cop
the
who
black cop
was
who was
talking
talking
to
to Citizens
Citizens Against
Against
Crime,
Crime,
Jack's
Jack's
stepdad, who we mentioned before in that line
with Evan.
I don't
With
know if we
Evan,
mentioned it earlier, so just in
we
case
should mention. We should
earlier
mention.
someone was like, wait, I don't remember which direction it was. He was like, "My stepdad's gay," or no, "My dad's gay," and someone else was like, "I got you one worse. My stepdad's black," and you're like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, guys!"
My stepdad's a cop. They're like, "That's bad," and he's like, "Even worse, he's black." And everybody's like, "Oh."
And you and I look at each other like, "Oh, Jesus."
I don't know. Things to cope with in the
Gay
80s.
dad
Gay
sure would
dad
be
sure
one.
would be one. Black cop stepdad. When you're a white punker, I don't know. It seems manageable, but apparently not to this guy. And it's pretty clear that his dad's a pretty cool
Yeah, he
guy.
is.
He's trying to look out for the TR kids and trying to keep the Citizens Against Crime from shooting dogs in cold
Yeah,
blood.
yeah.
He seems all right.
Yeah,
I
he
don't
does.
know,
Yeah,
though.
he does. Despite his complainy, shitty, possibly racist stepson.
Yeah. The situation is defused by Jack's African American stepfather, police officer Bill Renard. Jack's stepdad.
Do you know when there is a shot of roadkill? Apparently, at some point in this movie, we see some roadkill, and I was like, "Mom, what kind of animal is that?" And you responded with, "I'm sorry, Valerie," which is really cracking me up.
Just they're cruising around in Jack's car.
It's
They see some
roadkill, and
roadkill,
he
and
leans
he
out and
leans
goes,
out and
"Wow,"
goes, "Wow,"
and like
picks it
picks it
up.
up.
And you're just
Oh.
like, "Why do you want that?" But then later, they go driving around suburban neighborhoods and find places with open garages.
Yep.
And they go into garages and they steal stuff out of people's deep freezers. Which I don't know how common that is because I didn't become a person that grew up, bought a house, had a garage, and put a deep freeze in it. We had one when I was growing up.
My dad and stepmom don't have one, but I have lived in places where I have been sent to the deep freezer, so I think it's not uncommon. But also, my dad and stepmom are like clean freaks and sort of think that the garage is a toxic war zone.
Interesting.
So I don't think they'd put food there.
My parents would buy like a half a cow or something.
Half a cow! Grandma knows what to do with half a cow?
Well, it's all normal cuts of meat.
Oh, I see. Not an intact half a cow.
No.
I'm following. I'm with it.
And they put it in a deep freeze. So we had one of those. Ours was in the basement, not the garage, because my garage was occupied by my dad's 10 billion projects and planes and snowmobiles and speedboats and
Yep, yep,
motorcycles.
yep,
And
yep, yep, yep.
so they're in the habit of going to places and stealing food, and they bring it back to the TR house so they all can have stuff to eat.
Yeah, that's like how they're living.
Yep, and this is more of the stuff that the director had Penelope put in to make the movie more sex, drugs, and violence.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Though this is neither sex nor drugs nor violence, it's just sort of petty thievery.
It's robbery, but in one of the sequences in which they are stealing from a garage, some guy comes out and catches them in
Isn't
the
there like a.
act, and there's a
Yeah.
scuffle, and Jack is getting undone by this homeowner, and Evan comes at him with a fire extinguisher, blows it in his face, which stops him from being attacked, and they all run and escape. Everybody's happy. And then they bring all their loot back to the TR house and pour it on the table, and all the girls squee and make a big deal about having food. And the dudes look at each other like, yes, we are the men. We have done the thing. It's very cute and silly. Oh, Evan, by this time, our hero, has gotten his head shaved
yes.
and looks hella better.
He looks awesome.
Yeah. He's a cutie little punk boy now,
Yeah.
and we do adore. So I think like they're celebrating that night with the foods. They have like a little barbecue, and the dogs are back. They're sharing stories and getting drunk. We find out that Evan's a little gullible. Flea and Skinner are getting together and spinning some tall tales, and he's like listening and cutting to the really stoned two punker girls.
They're in the background of every scene, just.
What? Chicken butt! And like
Yeah.
laughing super happy. Yeah, they're silly. They, I don't think, are that great, but the girl that's like laughing with them,
Something else.
she was good. She was really good.
Those were the girls that I, in the beginning of the movie, was like, oh my god, there's lesbians in this
They could have been.
movie?
They could have
Been.
been. Yeah, you can ship them.
Sure. My fucking dad says chicken butt. It was alarming hearing it come out of a character's face.
Has that gone out of vogue? Strange. Cute. I
Yeah, I
like
didn't like
that.
it.
That was silly. Slingshots into the fire, so that's like pretty. And someone's
That is
got a
pretty.
TV going on. They're watching it, and there's a police report about a crash on the highway. Evan's looking at it and is like, oh, that looks like my mom's car. And then it's like, so and so, blah, 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 was intoxicated at the. He's like, God damn it, it is
Oh
my
shit. Oh shit.
mom.
Yes, I remember that now.
She got into a drunk driving accident. So they get in the car and go back to Evan's neighbors where they can see his brother having dinner with the neighbors at the dinner table. And his brother sees him through the window and his face just lights up and he just runs to the door.
Yeah, they're sweet together.
Yeah, all the punker kids just like grab him and throw him in the car and off they go. And the neighbors who are taking care of this kid are just like, huh? They don't know. Did he run back and get his big wheel? That might have happened.
Yeah, or they like grab it out of the yard or something. That seems right.
Yeah. So cutie little kid goes back to the TR house. And I don't know if it's then or later. There's a sequence where he gets a haircut.
Yeah, and you told me when they grabbed the kid, because earlier in the movie I was like, man, a mohawk is like the one haircut that I really, really want, but I'm not willing to do the maintenance on, so I'm never gonna get one. And truly, they took the kid back to the TR house, and you went, now, Valerie,
try not to be too jealous. And I like screamed. I was like, no, mom, no way. And he's got an awesome little mohawk. I was like
They give him a
furious.
mohawk and they get it all pulled up, and it just looks amazing on him.
It looks awesome.
He's in the chair, they're giving him the do, and you're like, no way, no way, no way. And then it cuts to him on his big wheel with this amazing mohawk and his little cherub face with his big full lips. And he's a little scabby, he's a little chapped, you know, like kids are.
Yeah.
He's adorable.
Yeah, he looks incredible. All children, whatever his age is, should have mohawks. They look great.
Yeah, so like kind of a dream come true for this kid, right? Like what a life, what a life.
Yeah, and he gets to be with his big brother he
Yeah,
loves.
not with his drunken mom, who's not very nice.
The girls are really sweet to him, really
Oh, they love
doting.
him. Yeah,
Yeah.
they read him storybooks at night in the one bed that they all
You know,
share.
all women, they just want to be moms,
Yeah,
caretakers. That's how
maybe.
women are.
I don't know about that, but they're really nice to Evan's younger brother.
Mom didn't warn me there's gross kissing in this movie. That's my next note. I guess there's kissing. Don't they go to a
What
show then?
happens? I mean, we see them at shows often, and I think they even do a cut where Joe and Sheila are making out, and then they do a cut and they're
Sure.
making out in a new location.
Oh, that's kind of
Kind of
fun.
like a scene change.
Yeah. Hey, I wrote some notes down here, and they're very important to
Go through
mention.
it.
Flea kisses his rat, and I wrote, Flea kissing his rat is the only kissing allowed. And the next line is, Nope, not swallowing the rat, not allowed. And you know, I do remember
Yeah.
that. Sometimes I'm like, Flea and his animals are great. And sometimes I'm like, this is the worst part of the fucking movie. Stop letting Flea tongue this rat. I don't know, man.
Penelope Spheeris would talk about she just let the camera run on these kids and they did amazing things. And it wasn't actually Flea's rat, it was some other punker kid who loaned his rat to the film. And rolling film on Flea fucking around with the rat, and he opens his mouth, and the rat goes in, and Flea continues to shove the rat all the way into his mouth. And that made it
Incredible.
into the film. And, like,
I don't know, man.
yeah, not in the script, just,
Incredible. Holy shit. I didn't know that was improvised. That's bananas. I mean, seems like the rat started it, so whatever. Maybe I'm more okay with it than I was before.
Yeah. Some of the sweet moments, like when the girls are putting Evan's younger brother to bed and they're gonna read him some fairy
Yeah, Hansel and
tales.
Gretel.
And Flea is in there like, "Have you hugged your kid today?" And they're just like, "Oh, shut up, Flea." All the kids come in to hear the fairy tales because they think it's sweet. And Ethan falls asleep. The girl reading the stories is like, "Okay, I'm gonna stop." And the other kids in the room are like, "Oh, don't stop. We want to hear more."
Yeah,
So she keeps
yeah.
reading to all these kids. Some of the kind of bonding and sweetness that Penelope puts in these kids, like they kind of are terrible, but they're also,
Yeah.
kids, that found each other. What would we call that? A found family sort of
Yeah.
situation. Yeah. So Sheila and Joe are getting to know each other better, and as promised, she tells Joe that the reason she got all the scars on her back is because her dad is physically and sexually abusing her. Physically and sexually abusing her.
That's tough with the braces, isn't it?
I'm sorry, maybe you should say it.
No, I think you got the point across.
Okay, cool. So Joe's like, man, that sucks. At this same concert, or maybe they start making out after she says, and that's when we cut to them making out at the concert. The TR gang gets into a fight defending Skinner. I don't know what the deal is. Skinner gets into fights. Like, he's the one that was antagonizing the girl that got her dress ripped off, and he's the one that was running up to the guy shooting the dogs, causing problems. So I can't remember, but
Is
he's
Skinner
doing something.
the bald one?
Yeah.
Okay, got you.
He gets into a fight, maybe gets kicked out of the club. So he just goes, like, walking down the street. But these people are following him in a car. And they jump him and they're kicking his ass pretty good. But then TR comes walking up the street and sees it happening. And they're like, hey, it's Skinner. And they go running up and join the fray. And now odds are evened out more. But then they're on somebody's front lawn who comes out to the porch with a shotgun
Jeez.
and is just like, everybody, get out. So they all go running.
I think around here is when I started wondering if Skinner was gonna like die in a fight or die defending everyone else, or I don't know. I got martyr vibes off this kid. Yeah. Go on.
So they go back to the club and regroup, and they're just like, what was the deal? And he's like, I don't know, they were just assholes. And like, okay, well, let's just watch the music. Then these kids look like, what's that movie with the greasers and the, oh, Valerie, it's so not your era, but it's
And the
like,
Socs?
yeah, and
Stay
like,
gold, pony
Stay
boy?
Gold and Bony Boy, yeah. The Outsiders.
Yeah, that
Okay.
is my era. That book touched my heart in middle school, as it does for everyone.
Well, they made a movie out of it with
Yes,
like
I'm very
all
familiar.
the teenage heartthrobs of that era. It was a
Yeah.
little before my time because I remember being little and being like, gross boys, who cares?
No,
But like,
they die. I care very much.
it had everybody. It had Emilio Estevez, Tom Cruise, Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, Ralph
Isn't
Macchio,
like
like.
Michael J. Fox? No, who am I thinking
I
of? Who's
don't
the who's
think.
Pony Boy? Oh no, look at that.
He's
C.
an
Thomas
actor.
Howell.
Yeah, he went in and did other
Okay, that doesn't
things.
check out. Why do I think that's Michael J. Fox?
No, it's not Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
Okay, this where you go on to a spiral
All
into,
right,
we
keep
gotta
going.
keep going here. So the guys that Skinner gets in a fight with look a little bit like the Socs, right? Like they're just a little bit more preppy, a little bit more clean cut. I mean, still rotten teenage boys, but long hair like the 70s and like not punkers. So they, I feel like they put on like weird wigs or something. I don't even know if that was necessary, but they infiltrate into the club and then stick a knife in one of the security guards, which is like fucking severe, right?
Yeah.
And then when this is exposed, they're like, we're closing out the club. And like, it's terrible. This guy got stabbed, and they're making everybody leave. And the girls come running up to the guys in TR and are like, take off your bands, take off your bands. Because some of them
Oh
wear
yeah.
like little
TR,
bandanas that say
yeah.
TR on them. And so they're like, yeah, why? What's going on? Just do it. And then they go walking by, and there is a bloody sign put up with the knife that stabbed the security guard, and it says TR on it, right?
Jesus Christ.
They've been
Yeah.
framed in a pretty primitive sort of framing, I would say. The next morning after this club night, there's a meeting of the Citizens Against Crime, yes. And again, really, Citizens Against Crime is not even a real organization as far as I know, but whatever.
Yeah, but it's probably like I think the idea is that they're like a little militia that came together just to fuck around with these TR kids because they were pissed and they have guns and big egos, you
Yeah,
know?
sure. But the cops go to this meeting. The cops are there and they're at a little card table in front and they're like taking questions. And I'm like, yeah, no. Cops might have like a press event or something like that. But for the most part, I don't think that they attend local gatherings of concerned citizens and take their abuse just because some group wants to yell at
I could
cops.
imagine a couple of cops showing up. I could imagine a circumstance where it happens.
Well, we'll give you that because it happens in this movie.
Yeah.
They're yelling at Jack's stepdad and telling them they're not doing enough to curb the teenagers' criminal behavior and that they're gonna have to take the law into their own hands.
And this is another scene where they're like framing the dad cop as like a pretty chill dude. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's trying to be level with these
Sticking up
guys.
for the kids.
The victim from the club disrobing was there and is whispering in her dad's ears.
I mean, I get why she's mad.
Yeah, sure. Throwing that on the fire of they might have stabbed this guy. They are robbing our our garages.
Sexually assaulted this girl. And, you know, they did do those things.
Yes, the items are lining up.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bill, the concerned stepdad, goes to the venue
The
that night,
club.
the club, and tells Evan to go in and find Jack. And Jack comes out and is like, what do you want? And his stepdad's just trying to tell him, these guys are getting wild and they're out for revenge. I want all you kids to clear out of the TR house for your own safety. And he's just like, no way, man. He takes it very negatively. And his stepdad's like, you know, you could always come home. Your mom would really love that.
Aww.
And like, Jack's like, no way, man. Or he takes it very negatively. So there's that.
Here we go. Here are my notes. Is this movie gonna end with a fucking shootout massacre? Is the bald kid gonna die protecting everyone? There it
Your
is.
apprehension.
I was so sure I had this movie's number, and it was all about Skinner.
Okay. So, sure enough, that night at the TR house, the two ringleaders of Citizens Against Crime, the dog shooters, break into the TR house.
Aren't they in some like ridiculous redneck get-ups? You know, just like clearly like America loves guns outfits. Do you know what I mean by that? Like they're just like a jean vest or something.
Yeah, I think so. I'm getting confused. Like, I feel like they might have been wearing masks but got disrobed, but then they grabbed Sheila and she was wearing clothes and somehow her clothes got ripped off. So I might be confusing the two, but anyways, they have Sheila, probably the most vulnerable among them,
Yeah.
around the neck and they're yelling, and I think they're holding a gun up to her head or something, and they're like, let this be a warning. If we come back here, you know, we're gonna get you or whatever. And all the kids are just like, fuck! And then they throw Sheila into the group and they leave. And so the next day, the TR kids are all talking about moving, you know, and they're packing up. And at some point, one
Goes to
of
check on
them,
Sheila.
Skinner is like, where's something? He's looking for something.
Oh,
He's
yeah, the
like,
shirt. I put these nails up so you could put the shirts up on the fucking nails.
all the trouble of putting nails up, which made me
And there are
laugh.
like a lot of nails, too.
And like nobody puts things away or like
There's like
whatever.
an unreasonable number of nails in the wall.
Yeah, there really are quite a few nails. He's going around looking for something. Everybody's packing. He goes into the room with the bed. He notices Sheila's dead. She's lying in bed and she's
Yeah.
dead. And he's freaked out.
Understandably.
His reaction is he sees she's dead. He goes over and looks and she's taken all of
It was black
Keith's.
triangles, right?
Yeah, drugs and OD'd. So he right away leaves that room and goes and finds Keith and starts pummeling his face. And he's like, you and your
Yeah,
drugs.
totally beats the shit out of him.
This is what I think of your drugs. Sheila's dead. Joe's like, what? Because everybody's pulling Skinner off of Keith,
Yeah.
not getting the whole story. Joe catches Sheila's dead and he runs back and sees her body. And yes, she is indeed dead.
Yeah.
So then later they're sitting around reading the suicide note that she left. And it was like, don't feel bad. I just thought it would be better if I got out of here. I hope you guys don't lose your home. Love, Sheila.
Aww.
And Flea's excited because he wants to burn the whole house down. And then one of them is just like, but if we let them kick us out of this place, they're just going to kick us out of the next place. And so they just decide at that point they're not going to leave TR.
Yeah, they wrap Sheila up in a carpet. Is it the next scene? They like take her to her dad's house?
Yeah, they didn't know what to do with the body. She's
Which,
dead.
yeah, what do you do? Call your cop stepdad? I don't know.
Yeah, the girls were just like, let's just take her home. I know where Sheila lives, so they drove her to her parents' house.
And I think Skinner like carries her up to the steps, and Joe is there, and what's his
Yeah.
face with the smile is there.
Jack. They aren't well received by the parents,
No.
but they're polite enough about it. We're sorry, we didn't know what to do, and we'd like to come to the funeral. And then they go to the funeral. And they're at the funeral and, you know, kind of sitting in the
And we get
back.
shots of all their really sad faces, and some of them are crying, and they're all dirty and in their torn up clothes.
And then you see Sheila's family in the front, and the mom's getting uncomfortable. So she sends the dad back, and the dad is asking them to leave. And they fight back. They're like, no, we don't want to leave. We're sad too. Sheila was our friend, and we didn't like you when Sheila was alive. We don't want you here when Sheila is dead. The dad's like escalating. And then Joe is like, You put your filthy hands on her, you dirty fuck. That is not at all what he
That's
says.
Exactly
but
what he says.
something similar to that. So now it's a fucking scene, and a fight breaks out at this funeral.
Good place for a fight. Who doesn't love a funeral fight?
Yeah. And they go running out. Yeah, so the citizens against crime, of course, hear about that. They're enraged, and they decide to go out to the TR house. But this time, the kids have gotten ready.
I thought
ready.
They were going to home alone the place.
It's a lengthy scene of them being, what do I want to say, rebuffed?
Rebuffed? The citizens being rebuffed? Yeah. I think it turns out more of like a classic ambush than a proper like laying a trap situation.
Yeah. And they finally drive them off and all the kids are in the driveway and they're shouting, "Yay!" And Ethan runs back and gets on his big wheel.
And there is something about this shot that made me realize, uh-oh, maybe Skinner isn't going to die. Maybe something's about to happen to this kid. And then there's ominous synth music.
All the kids are screaming, "Yay!" when the citizens against crime in their car come wheeling back around and decide to ram the kids in the driveway. They pull into the driveway really, really fast, and all the kids scatter. But Ethan, on his big wheel, didn't know they were coming, and the car hits the big wheel. Ethan flies in the air, splats on the windshield, clearly dead.
Mohawk is still flawless, though.
The citizens against crime see his dead head and the blood on their windshield.
You get a shot of them being like, "Oh, fuck."
They freak out, recoil, kick the car in reverse, and get the hell out of there. And Ethan rolls off the hood and splats on the pavement.
It's a really
dead.
Striking shot of him, like, splayed out.
Evan runs up to him and grabs his dead body and is cradling him. And then that same music that was used when Evan was first leaving his home, that da 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 da, that really sad like drum kicks in and the credits roll. And you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah, for real.
What just happened?
Yeah, like the last shot is him like clutching his little brother, burying his face in his shoulder, and the mohawk is flawless and the brother is limp, and you're like, oh my god, dude.
Yeah, like Casey Kolowitz style, like, oh, the poor dead baby, there was nothing we could do, you know, like, oh
yeah.
God. There it is, the end of the movie. I think up until that point, I had never seen a movie that ended so, like, stark and...
bleakly?
Yeah, that was just terrible.
Well,
right?
I don't know. It's interesting. You watch this movie and you're like, these kids are really lovable. They're also real shitheads.
I might argue that most kids are. It's not a age, you
well,
know?
Sure. Like, both of those things. Most kids are pretty lovable and pretty crappy. But ultimately, this movie really sympathizes with them, with these, like, two... objectively tragic deaths in the end, you know? Yeah, it's a toughie.
We talked a little in this about Penelope's her producer Roger Corman asking her to add violence, sex and violence. They put the girl getting her clothes ripped off at the punk show. They put the citizens against crime ripping Sheila's shirts off when they went to the TR house to threaten them. They put the death of this kid. And I guess the big reveal to me when I found out that that wasn't originally in the script that she added
she
that.
She added the kid dying?
Well, I don't know if she added the kid dying, but definitely the rape scene. Not rape scene. I'm sorry. The
sexual assault.
That and that had affected me so much.
Sure, yeah.
When I was watching this and was looking into that world and wanting to be a part of that world.
What's interesting to me, because you weren't really interested in being a punker, you wanted to be a riot girl, but like rock and punk were so intertwined and you really liked like the raw self-made stuff. So that this still scared you because it was close enough to what you were hoping for.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah, that I felt like this was telling me that I needed to tread lightly in this world, right? Like, I needed to be very careful and not be vulnerable. And, you know, maybe all those things are true, but I think when we first talked about her adding this scene, it was kind of like, thanks, Penelope. Like, why? Why you gotta make the girls more scared? Like, why we gotta do that? for things to be sexier, you know? Like, couldn't Skinner have gotten all his clothes ripped off?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Well, do we know how much of that was her and how much of that was like what she knew would sell, you know?
What was asked for, like she put it as she turned in the script and he said, "Yes, I will make this, but you need to add more sex and more violence." And so she went back and
Why not
wrote
some sexy violence?
and put those things in. And I just find that so profound that that was the part of the movie
Scared
that
you. Yeah.
got to me so viscerally that I was like, I need to change. What would you call that? Like, sort of the cast that you are given or you're born into for being a woman. Like, you are the vulnerable one. You are the one
Oh.
that will be punished. You're the one that the violence is wrought
And this
on.
movie like
Like,
perpetuated that.
yeah, I feel like Penelope didn't have a choice, but it just is like, oh, man. Yeah, I guess. It's disappointing to me that the auteur who went and explored the punk culture and then came to make this movie, and that she was given the ultimatum to make it more threatening and.
Well, I think it certainly makes the movie more disappointing, but isn't it a relief to hear that that part was falsified?
Sure. But the disappointment isn't so much in the movie, but just like
That's what
that's
sells. That's what's expected.
the disappointment in that's the
Yeah,
norm.
I feel you.
Yeah. And that females watching this have to take the hit. Like, oh, yep.
Yeah, for real. It like
Yeah.
objectively made the movie scarier and worse
Yeah.
for us watching.
Yeah, it's disappointing. There's a lot of people now who talk about the right way to use rape in fictional narratives, and I don't know what I think about that. I haven't looked at it enough to have an opinion. Maybe I wouldn't have an opinion either way,
Are you
but.
sure? You watch a lot of movies with rape in them.
Sure.
That's just kind of nature of enjoying genre film and enjoying stories about women is you run into a lot of them.
Yeah, for sure. And I can't think of, like, oh, Pulp Fiction, Vin Rames, or whoever. Or,
Wait,
I
I
can't
got
think of
it.
any of the
That's called
movie.
Dueling Banjos and it's from Deliverance?
Yeah, those are the two movies I can think
Oh,
of.
I am so good.
Yeah, you are. Where, like a dude is,
Sexually assaulted.
to up the ante, you know?
Sure.
Or, like, if there's a prison movie, it's like, oh
Yeah.
God, and someone's gonna get him in the shower. Like, that'll be like a male rape
But
scene,
like
but.
even then it's done to be emasculating. It's not done. Well, bleh, 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 bleh. Whole thing's gross.
Yeah, the whole thing's gross, but it's just, yeah. And, like, that was, again, and maybe now it's not the same, but that me looking at this movie as a 18, 19-year-old girl, I was looking at this as how life is, an example of how life is, and all of this extra fear was put in it for me. And maybe your generation doesn't have as much of that fear-mongering, or you can have more of a separation from
I don't
it.
know. I think we discuss media differently, at least me and my friends. And I don't know. The fact of the matter is, I know more women who have experienced sexual harassment at the very least than women who haven't. Sucks. But, you know, with movements like Me Too a couple years ago and
Yeah.
other lights being shined upon it, like, you know, you hope the world keeps getting better. And I think in this respect it has. I really do.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know if I have more to say about that. I wasn't just such a rush for you to see it after we went to that screening and I heard Penelope Spheeris talking about the scenes that were so fundamental. Me building this fierce persona with which to go into the Portland
Not get in
music
trouble.
scene.
Yeah.
you
How
know,
did it
make a
feel
debut.
like sitting next to me and
Yeah.
watching it? Was it weird sharing it with me? Was it nice sharing it with me?
I was re-listening to this podcast. You were talking about watching it on Dorota's bed, and I was like, oh, right, yeah, we did. How did we do that? Like, I can barely remember it.
We battled the TV and we won. That's how we watched it.
Yay! Awesome on us. But I want to know your reactions to it because they're often so contrary to
Really?
mine. Well, we talked about it when we did The Exorcist. Like, that just petrified me to the very core and, like, defined what I would be afraid of in this life. And, like,
Oh, I see.
this is another example of me being like, ah, fuck, don't be soft and pink at the club.
It helps a lot that I can like go to like forums and stuff where there are people blogging about their experiences as young punkers. And I don't know, I think I read different books from you written by people who are now in their 40s at the youngest and have some perspective. A
No,
lot of
yeah,
my understanding of the
totally.
punk scene is from that guy who wrote the books about the Boston bus riots and also the punk scene in the 80s, Michael Patrick McDonald.
The punker scene, I'm not an expert, but I always think of the start of it as being like the Sex Pistols in England. I think that they weren't the first punk band, but
Yeah, but they were defining.
yeah. And like they were put together by a producer and a woman that, ran a fashion show, and they created a,
Was
like a band to go with Vivian Westwood.
is like Susie Sue, Johnny Rotten, The Clash, is that all punk?
Yeah, I would say so. Johnny Rotten for sure.
Okay.
He's the lead singer in the Sex Pistols. And I read,
Great.
what is it? No Blacks, No Dogs, No Irish, which was about the punk scene and the beginning of all that, but also delves into a lot of, at the time, like it was sort of the disillusioned white youth. And they're poor and, like whatever their prospects are. And like punk was a movement that came out of that. And there's,
Yeah, this book kind of gets into that too. Okay.
yeah. And that culture has a lot of problems, obviously, right? Like skinheads
Yeah.
and abuse of women and prejudice against blacks. And like, there's like a lot of problems with it. But I don't think that it's all that. I think. Certainly those are stigmatisms from it,
Yeah,
but
there's good and bad to any community.
yeah. And I think Penelope, she added the sex and violence per request on her, but I think there's a lot of heart in these kids that she's representing too.
I think when you and I I was gonna say that I feel like you and I watching stuff today often come away with similar takeaways, but I don't actually think that's true. That was we should have a podcast about our different feelings about
I think
media,
it's a really good idea.
'cause I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Well, sweet girl, I think we call that a podcast.
You want to get editing? I know you're excited to edit. So, I love you so much.
I love you too.